sooner or later, all of us find ourselves in a sort of situation about which we say, how did I get myself into this?
The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about why am I in this? Some months ago, my husband Lars and I were invited to dinner at a very beautiful home by a very beautiful woman. She is one of the most feminine women that I know. She is a born decorator. What she touches turns beautiful. She's a very good cook, and we'd had a very delicious dinner. And we were sitting in her more or less all cream-colored living room with beautiful touches of pastel colors here and there by a fire, and she was telling us a very sad story. She was one of those people married but alone about whom we spoke recently. The situation she was in was one that I had never heard of. It was a case where she married what appeared to be a very decent man. We had had them both over before they were married. I was very happy for her. She was a woman in her early 40s, and this was a second marriage for both of them. He seemed a very nice gentleman. He seemed intelligent and clean-cut and just what we thought was right for her. I'll call her Priscilla. But to her utter astonishment, as soon as they were married, it became obvious that he had no intention of being a real husband to her economically. He had decided that since she had a very nice house and a very good job and was making more money than he was, that he really would let her take care of everything. He had a job, too, but he let her know that he would contribute absolutely nothing whatsoever to the mortgage, the groceries, the electric bill, or any other of the costs for which he expected her to pay. Her question to me was, why am I in this? How did I get into a situation like this? She was very much alone. She told me that he was a great lover. Well, I could imagine that a man who's got somebody who will pay all his bills so that he can do anything he wants with his money without ever having to take responsibility, a man who has a wife so lovely, so well-dressed, who keeps such a beautiful home and is such a good cook, why should he not be a great lover? But why was she in this? Sooner or later, all of us find ourselves in the sort of situation about which we say, how did I get myself into this? Because I'm the kind of person who always wants to go back to primary rather than just secondary causes, I go back to God. I go back to the beginnings of the universe. Where did it all begin? I've heard various theories about the beginnings of the universe, and one of them is the Big Bang, that everything started by some kind of an explosion. Well, as I understand it, an explosion occurs because of the buildup of pressure. So I would go back before the Big Bang, and I want to know, well, where did the pressure build up? What was there to build up? What forces built up the pressure? Where did it all begin? And if it satisfies a scientist to say, well, it didn't have any other beginning except the Big Bang, I can only say, fine, if that satisfies you, but it certainly doesn't satisfy me. I read a speech given by Dr. Cressy Morrison, who was president of the New York Academy of Sciences back in the 1930s. a lecture called The Law of Chance, and I learned these astonishing facts about chance. He said, if you have 10 pennies in your pocket and you want to pull them out in order, 1 to 10. Oh, I left out that you're supposed to number the pennies. Say you take 10 pennies and scratch numbers 1 to 10 on them, put them in your pocket and pull them out in the order of their numbers. Your chances of bringing out number 1 first would, of course, be 1 in 10. That I can understand. I can follow that, although I'm still counting on my fingers when it comes to arithmetic. But he said, your chances of pulling out all 10 of the pennies in their numerical order would be, are you ready for this, 1 in 10 billion. So if it satisfies certain kinds of minds to say that the universe happened by chance, that the intricacies, for example, of the hinge on the lid of a spider's eye happened by chance, that the balance of nature, the pressure, the tides, the rising of the sun, the moon, the revolutions of the earth, the movements of the stars, all happened by chance. Well, it must be 1 in a great deal more than 10 billion. I go back to what I think is unavoidable, which is the existence of a creator. Let's look in the book of Job in the very first chapter. Job was a man very wealthy, a man whom God himself regarded as blameless. And it says in verse 13, when the day came that Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking in the eldest brother's house, a messenger came running to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses were grazing near them when the Sabaeans swooped down and carried them off after putting the herdsmen to the sword. I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, God's fire flashed from heaven. It struck the sheep and the shepherds and burnt them up, and I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. While he was still speaking, another arrived and said, the Chaldeans, 3 bands of them, have made a raid on the camels and carried them off after putting the drivers to the sword, and I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. While this man was speaking, yet another arrived and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking in the eldest brother's house when suddenly a whirlwind swept across from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people and killed them, and I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. At this, Job stood up and rent his cloak. Then he shaved his head and fell prostrate on the ground, saying, naked I came from the womb, naked I shall return whence I came. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Throughout all this, Job did not sin or charge God with unreason. We have been given a glimpse behind the scenes of what happened before all those disasters overtook Job. You remember that Satan appeared before God. As far as we know, Job is not given a glimpse of what had taken place in those unseen realms. But Satan appears before God and challenges him about the matter of faith. And God calls his attention to this blameless man, Job. He says, have you considered my servant Job? You will find no one like him on earth, a man of blameless and upright life who fears God and sets his face against wrongdoing. And Satan said to the Lord, hasn't Job good reason to be God-fearing? You've hedged him round on every side with your protection, him and his family and all his possessions. Whatever he does, you've blessed, and his herds have increased beyond measure. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and then he will curse you to your face. And God gave permission to Satan to stretch out his hand against Job. And so we have him losing his flocks, his sheep, his servants, his houses, his sons and daughters, and eventually even the confidence of his wife. But his first utterance when he heard the news was one of faith. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not utter one sinful word. Then in the second chapter, we have his wife challenging him. We have a second challenge from Satan to God. And then Job's body is smitten with sores, and he finds himself sitting on an ash heap, scraping these running sores or boils which covered his body from head to foot. And his wife comes along and says to him, "Are you still unshaken in your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said, "You talk as any wicked fool of a woman might talk. If we accept good from God, shall we not accept evil?" And through all this, Job did not utter one sinful word. There was no question in Job's mind of God's existence or his sovereignty, even though Job never charges God with evil. He does not see that it was God who killed his children, God who gave him the boils. He simply knows that he is in God's will, that he is held in those everlasting arms. There he sits on his ash heap, broken, deprived, grieving, and sore, and yet trusting in God.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.